Psychologist Dr. James Dobson explains why now is the time to release his very first work of fiction.
I'm seeing changes that have not occurred in my lifetime. And I believe now that a story has the opportunity to get through to the hearts of people.
It's Dr. Dobson's brand new novel, Fatherless, available at drjamesdobson.org. That's Fatherless at drjamesdobson.org.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's Family Talk with my dad, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with Luann Crane. And Luann, we had an amazing time yesterday with Dr. Gary Smalley, and we have got more in store today.
Well, Ryan, I've always been a huge fan of Dr. Smalley. For decades now, he's been helping parents like me learn how to have better relationships with our spouses and children. And now, as appropriate for his stage of life, he's turning his attention to grandparenting.
Mm-hmm. Well, Luann, what a joy being a grandfather has brought to me.
We've noticed that.
And, Ryan, you know that as well. And I know our guest today and my great friend, Gary Smalley, feels exactly the same way. As you've mentioned, Dr. Smalley has been helping families for over 25 years. He's written or co-written some 52 books over the years, and he has been a guest in our studio at least 24 times. He and Norma have been married for 43 years, and they have 10, count them, 10 grandchildren. Well, Gary, it's always a pleasure to have you come back and be with us. I mean, we've been doing this for a long, long time, and it's good to have you back.
Well, you know how I feel about you, that this is a thrill to be back, and you are still that giant snowplow, and I'm that little snowplow going on behind the back, so I don't have to do all those details. So thank you for all the things you do for God's kingdom.
Well, Gary, let's start today with this. You've got a new book out that's called Guarding Your Child's Heart. Uh-huh. And you're talking about not only the subject or the title, but the subtitle, which is Establish Your Child's Faith Through Scripture, Memory, and Meditation.
Right.
Now, this book has four beliefs in it that you want to instill in your children. Let's start with number one.
Okay. When the scripture throughout the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, so a follower of Christ is saved by grace, God's love and power, but he only gives his grace to the humble. So the first one is humility. What does humility mean? And so just real briefly, humility is not being the boss of your life, but letting God hold the reins of your life. And you turn your life over to him and say, God, you lead me. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Don't want to lean in my own understanding. I think to myself all the time, God, your ways are higher than mine. Your ways are better than mine. Mm-hmm. So he basically says, Jesus said, there's four things that I want you to do. I mean, there's lots of things. He had 140 commands, but I could fit all 140 of his commands into four of his commands.
Okay.
So the first one is how very, very blessed you are when you are poor in spirit, which means you're a beggar in spirit. You're helpless spiritually. I can't produce God's love and power on my own. And so as I become poor in spirit, and as I understand it, and I meditate on that verse and all the meaning of it, he then gives me the inheritance, because I'm a special child of his, he gives me the inheritance of the kingdom of God.
Now, how do you teach humility to a child?
Okay, what I use is a horse's bit. I have one. So I put it in my mouth, it's a big red one, you know, and I throw the reins behind me, and I say, God has the reins of my life, but his word and his spirit within me is the one who, he pulls it this way or this way, and God directs me. But it's not like it's burdensome. Jesus wants me to just admit that I'm helpless and that I can't produce this. That's easy. You know, I could do that. And then I also use a beggar so that I have a little cup that I use with change in it. And I get on my knees and I say, please, you know, alms. I have nothing. I have no money. I have no clothes. I haven't, you know, everything I have I've gotten from people. So I'm a beggar in spirit. And I picture myself that way. And then I get rewarded that God only gives his grace to the humble. He resists the proud. Mm-hmm. So the world's belief is pride. Mm-hmm. That's self-centered. That's I'm the charge of my life. It's boasting. I can't take any credit. That's humble. If you're taking credit all the time, that's a degree of pride. Because, see, God made every cell in my body, so I can't say I did anything. And so, anyway, those are the two contrasting things. The further we go towards pride, I call that the purple area, the world area. Further we go toward Christ, humility, I call that the red area.
But so that's so countercultural. I'm thinking of just going into these stores to buy clothes for your daughters.
Exactly.
The T-shirts say, it's all about me.
Exactly.
Diva,
right.
I am the queen.
Exactly.
The bumper stickers, get out of the way.
Yeah. Well, the scripture says this about the enemy. He's a liar. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the four beliefs that he has that are really powerful, they're marketed all the time in our world. The music, just everything for kids.
Well, why don't you give us all four so we have context?
All right, good. First one is humility. The world is pride. Second one is loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's a lot of meaning in that. The world says, go after the world's stuff, the things of this world. And you got to have your boat, you got to have your car, you got to have your certain houses, you got to have all the stuff the world offers, because the more stuff you get, you're going to be really happy. Flat out lie. And we all know what that means. I got all this different stuff in life, and then you get rid of it and you sell it because it's not really that meaningful. It's overflow. Doesn't mean we don't have anything. I just don't love it more anymore as much as I love God. Mm-hmm. And so that's the third one, is loving others as if they were me. Or loving others in the same way we want to be loved. It's loving and serving. And so the opposite of that is a pleasure-seeking person, a thrill-seeker, an excitement-seeker, an entertainment-seeker. And the problem is you're going to get addicted to either the world stuff or to Christ stuff. And I want to be addicted to loving and serving people. I want to be addicted to loving God. I want to be addicted to humility. And so the last one, and this is one of my favorite ones, but they're all favorites. The last one is Jesus said, how blessed you are when you rejoice in your sufferings, in your difficulties. Now, that's the red. That's Jesus. The purple is resist difficulties and trials. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Get angry, worry, fear, get discouraged, stress. That's where stress is. Stress, another word for stress is anger. Mm-hmm. That's the world. I don't want that anymore. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:28. God causes all things, A-L-L, to work together for good, to not just me, but my family and others, to those who love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see what I mean? And so what happened is that those are in my heart now, so that I know that when things difficult to happen, which is every day at 70, I even have a physical thing, it seems like, every day that can affect me negatively in some way. But because I know that God's going to work the pain someday to good, a day, a month, I don't care. He's in charge of that, but I don't resist difficulties anymore.
Let's make it practical, Gary. Okay. You are at home and your grandkids come over.
Right.
And you've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old, we'll say. I don't know what their ages are. And you sit down and start talking about this.
Yes.
And their eyes don't glass over.
No, because, for example, on the fourth one, the rejoicing. Rejoicing basically means cheering. Now, you don't cheer for the pain you're in, because nobody feels like cheering when you're in difficulty or pain. Mm. But here's what my grandkids will do. When I say something like this, gosh, am I having a day today? This happened, that happened. My grandkids will do this. Grandpa, yay! And so they'll put their arms up. And sometimes we even have we have several around the house, but these little pom-poms that cheerleaders use. And so it's almost like scoring a touchdown when I go through a difficulty. Yay! And Norma and I are always doing this together. The reason is because I'm not excited over the pain. I'm excited over what I'm going to get someday.
Like, how God's going to use
it. Yeah, exactly. And so this is what happens. Hannah will say something like this. She'll say, worst day of my life, Grandpa. And I said, what? The boy that I've noticed, she has like 4 or 5 boyfriends, but they don't know she existed. You know. And so, but it's just
she's so glad you're saying this on the radio.
Yeah. That's right. That's true. Yeah. Well, one of them knows her and now has become a good friend of hers. And so that's true. This is going to go everywhere. Okay. So anyway, she said, worst day of my life. Because I found out that he's a totally different faith than me.
Oh.
And so she said, yesterday I was very excited, today I'm not. And so both of us together went, yay. Now, she understands it. I don't feel like doing it. I don't even want to do it, but I'm going to do it because in obedience to God, you really only want to do it when it's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you memorize the few verses, like give God thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's all circumstances. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, oh, well, listen to this one. Romans 5, 3 through 5, he says, boast about your difficulties because you get more perseverance, you get God's character, you get hope. Hope's never disappointed because the love of God is poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I get more love because of this difficulty, naturally I'm not going to complain anymore.
Sure.
So that's what I do all day long.
What an impact you're going to make on those kids.
Gary, yesterday you and my dad were talking about Scripture and how when you memorize Scripture in your times of need, it comes back to you. I think sometimes when we do programs like this, there are parents that are thinking, listen, I've got Little League and church and school and a million things, and now you're saying I've got to do one more thing. And as a parent, we want to counteract culture.
Right.
And this allows you, in a way, it's a concentrated effort.
Exactly.
Because I don't have enough hours in the day to combat all of culture.
Exactly.
But the few hours I do spend teaching my kids Scripture and meditating on the words of God is tenfold return.
Oh, in fact, you'd think I'd know this stuff, but I just keep learning a new thing every day. And so like 2 or 3 days ago, I was teaching this, and I was thinking about it in my own life. I was meditating on it, and all of a sudden, 1 John 1:9 came to my mind, and it says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Purple is unrighteousness. Those four beliefs of the world, I see the red sort of as Pac-Man. The little Pac-Man, it goes over, and that's what I do with my grandkids is I show them that it's like Pac-Man. So if you memorize, I'm only talking about four verses. Most parents can do this. I have a new card game they can use when they're like 4 and 5. And so there's lots of things that I'm developing and trying to listen to parents. And so I can hardly wait to keep working on this the rest of my life.
Now you're talking about teaching Christian principles and values to your children.
Yes.
Does that kind of represent a transition? And, not that the other things are not important.
Exactly.
But you've gone to the fundamentals now.
Yeah. I've been teaching the marriage stuff for a long time, and people will say, well, I got a communication problem, or I got a, you know, a physical intimacy problem with my mate or whatever. And I've been telling them lately, that's not really your problem. Mm-hmm. You have a heart problem. And so the more a person's heart changes and becomes more like Christ, I mean, who doesn't want a husband or a wife that's loving God with all their heart?
Are you changing?
I'm changing. Constantly. Yeah. I'm being freed. I don't know how much time we have, but and I could summarize in seconds. But when I was 5, 6, and 7, I didn't have any supervision from my parents. My brother, I'm the last of 6 kids. So my brothers and sisters were supposed to supervise me, but they didn't. And so kids my age in Downey, California, would get together in the garage in their bedrooms and various things. And we did a lot of immoral things as a kid, okay? I never knew whether it was right or wrong. It didn't feel right. I never discussed it with my parents because, you know, but I did it nevertheless. Those experiences went with me into junior high, high school, college, and the rest of my life. I'm 65 years old 5 years ago. I finally say to God, if it's true that your words living in my heart will set me free, how come I'm not free of those immoral thoughts from time to time and lustful thoughts? And I'm this scientific study of one. So I said, God, I'd love for you to free me. What a miracle that would be, like water to wine for me. Mm-hmm. Well, I memorized Galatians 5, 13 and 14. It says God gives us freedom, but not to use for sensual things or the fleshy things, or the worldly things, we could say, purple things, but to use to love and serve people. And so because if you're loving others, you're fulfilling all the laws and prophets. I memorized those two verses. What I'm finding is that, and this is what the neuroscientists are saying, the more emotion and passion you put in the meditation of the scripture verses. So for 2 weeks, I really put passion into it and said, God, free me. And then I'd quote that verse and the meaning of each of the words. 2 weeks went by, and I was in a situation where I could have lusted, but the first thing that came to my brain, I wonder if those two girls that are in their bikinis, I wonder if they know how much God loves them. And I went, whoa. And then second is, I wonder if their mom and dad loved them when they were growing up. And third, if they're married, I wonder if their husband's loving them. God freed me in 2 weeks. And rarely, once in a while, certain circumstance, but I'd go right back to the same verses, right back to the same Pac-Man kind of thing, you know, and watch God's word eat those things out of my life. So constantly I experience freedom. That's the miracle for me. It's water to wine.
It's like that investment that you're planting in your heart, Dr. Smalley. It makes me think of the scripture in Luke 6. I love this. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart.
Yes.
And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart.
Exactly.
For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of.
That's it.
That's what you're describing.
That's exactly it.
Fill it up on all of those other days.
Yes.
And then when you need it,
exactly,
the mouth will speak what's in your
and
heart.
And the only real difference in my life is that I started memorizing scripture again after all those years, but now I'm meditating on it. And it's the passionate, emotional meditating seven times a day or so.
And explain that a little bit when you say meditating.
Okay. Meditating is like, I'll just do one. James 4:6, God resists the proud. And I say, God, I can't think of anything in me that's prideful or boastful because I don't have anything other than you. And I go to John 15, you are the vine, I'm the twig. God, I can't produce fruit unless I'm connected to you. And so I've been grafted into you as a gift, and your sap is running into me. Your Holy Spirit and your words are running into me. And so when I go on one verse, I pick up the other verses from time to time. And so then I say, but you resist that person that's proud, but you give your grace, your love and power to the humble. I want to be humble today and remain humble. And I go into what it means, the beggar, the horse's bit, you know, and all stuff. And that's meditation. And it's emotional. And I get passionate about it. And sometimes I get so fired up that I want to pull the car over and just, you know, put both hands up in the air and say, hallelujah, God, because your word is powerful.
So you're extrapolating on it and making it personal.
Exactly.
That's what
and,
meditation
and I
is.
I add as much emotion and passion as I can because that grows like a bigger memory tree in your brain, I guess, when you add the neuroscientists say that.
Yeah. Of course.
Luann, you just brought up an interesting point. We're talking about guarding your child's heart, and
yes,
you're talking, and Dad, you're talking about guarding your grandchild's heart,
yeah,
and yet there are people listening right now saying, that's me.
That's me.
Yes.
I have been struggling with something my whole life, and
right,
I need to be set free from it.
Exactly.
This is working for anybody of any age.
Exactly. And so
scriptures speak.
Yeah.
At the risk of being self-serving and turning the conversation a little bit, I want to read you something that's in my book, Bringing Up Boys, and it's about talking with your grandchildren. And I said, one of the most important contributions you as a grandparent can make to your grandchildren is to teach them about your family's early history, about the obstacles your family overcame, and what has made their stories unique. Education consultant and author Cherry Fuller applied the lyrics of an old African song to this responsibility. It included this line, "When an old person dies, it's as if a library burns down." You are the library for your grandchildren, being able to connect them with the past. It's your obligation and privilege, I believe, to give them a sense of identity within the family. You agree with that?
I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And when you get with your kids, do you try to do that?
I probably haven't done that angle, give them the histories. They'll hear the history of some of the things we do. But that's a great piece of advice. Exactly.
Yeah, a conscious effort to connect them. I went on to talk about my great-grandmother who helped raise me during my early years. And when I was just 3 or 4 years old, I remember her telling me stories about her life on the frontier. She told me how she would sit in her log cabin at night and hear the mountain lions, she called them panthers, come down from the hillside looking for the pigs. She would describe fascinating experiences that helped me understand how different life was then. The time we spent together bonded us to one another. The stories she told me then are still vivid in my memory. They helped open my mind to a love of history, a subject that still fascinates me today.
I love it.
I think that's pretty good stuff.
I love it. I love it. And I can hear my wife, Norma, telling those kind of stories to my grandkids. Mm. And so she does that to a degree. I think one of my favorite things she does is when they're going through a trial, they'll call her or text her and email her, and she responds back because they share their heartaches with her. And she's always encouraging to them because they know her many struggles. And then marriage all by itself, you know, has all kinds of struggles in it.
Ryan, your grandfather, Joe Kubista, what a good man he was. I loved that man. He died at 90 years of age, and he's gone on to be with the Lord. But, you know, he went through and fought in Guadalcanal, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa.
Wow.
But he would never talk about it much. And I think we ought to open up and tell our grandkids where their family came from.
That's right.
And what they have experienced.
That's good.
Dr. Smalley, you obviously have a very strong relationship with all 10 of your grandkids.
Yes.
I'm thinking of that grandparent right now who has a real disconnect. Maybe they don't live in the same place or they don't share a faith with their grandchild. And they're very envious of what you described. How can they start building that relationship that maybe hasn't existed?
Well, we use Skype a lot. And so I get to see him, and we can interact. How you doing?
Well, you mentioned texting and emailing. So really, even if people aren't real comfortable with that, they need to get involved in the technology.
Well, see, I think that these grandparents today that are listening need to get their own passion, because a lot of I never had a passion about God's Word. I mean, I have always had a passion and loved it, but I didn't really know how transforming it is when you start hiding it in your heart. And so they could get their own story, whatever their age, and be their own scientific study of one and learn what these verses mean. You can go to searchgodsword.com, and it gives you the definition of basically every word in the Bible. And so that's what I do. And then they give you all kinds of – but the internet today, you can go anywhere, Google anything, and you get the meaning as soon as you can. Except there's one thing. And this might be good for to go over the air and just to help me. When it says love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I still haven't found a definition of soul that I can meditate on. In other words, I've heard, you know, vague things and sort of general things, but nothing really specific. I know what the heart, I think, means scripturally, mind and strength, but not the soul. So maybe somebody's listening today that knows exactly what it means, and I'd love to hear.
Well, we're going to have you back once you get that figured out, because we're out of time. It's a great topic and wonderful advice, Gary. The title of your book, again, is Guarding Your Child's Heart, Establish Your Child's Faith Through Scripture, Memory, and Meditation. And we talked last time about the fact that when you get into certain circumstances and situations, a memorized scripture will go blasting into your brain.
Exactly.
You know the one that comes to me today?
What?
Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against
thee. Exactly.
When you start to sin, when temptation is there, the word will come to you. And if you've memorized it, it will protect you.
Exactly.
Boy, what a great thing to teach your grandkids.
I love it.
I mean, that'll preach, brother. Thank you for writing this book and for those 12 DVD sessions. And we're going to link to
it. We'll have all that information available.
Gary, it's always good to have you here. It's like old times, and we'll do it again.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
At 90?
Yes. I'll be here.
Still before then.
Sounds good. And again, we'll have a link at myfamilytalk.com to Dr. Smalley's DVDs that covers all of the material we've discussed today. There's so much more wisdom locked in those sessions.
And we also have copies of Dr. Smalley's book, which we just mentioned. It's called Guarding Your Child's Heart. Call us to find out how to receive a copy at 877-732-6825. Again, our number is 877-732-6825.
And again, the starting point for connecting with us online, myfamilytalk.com. We'd love to hear from you while you're there about what you think of the program. You can email us at myfamilytalk.com or drop us a note in the mail. Our address, 540 Elkton Drive, E-L-K-T-O-N Drive, Suite 201, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80907.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be with us next time.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us by downloading the new Family Talk mobile app. You can not only use the app to hear our broadcast 24 hours a day, but you can view video commentaries or get answers to your family-related questions with our Solid Answers tool. They're all free and available on Android, iPhone, and iPad devices. I hope you'll visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.